And here we are.
Hey,
second, this time.
Second attempt.
That's right. All right, folks. So this is episode 17, yeah. Slam 15. And Ivan's camera is probably overheated because it is super wicked hot where he lives.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's going to be a short one. And noised hit it on the button, like literally. We already started doing the podcast and we realized, no, wait a minute. We didn't even hit live. I don't know what happened. I hit the button. Something popped up and they decided not to do it.
Yeah. So, but now we're live.
First stream.
Now we're live for real. So, and if you are listening in or watching, we hope that you enjoy the episode.
Yeah.
And if you're not listening or watching, then I guess I wish you did, but you aren't listening or watching, so you will never hear me say that.
It's true. It's true. And not until the future of the Mindcast episodes we had just discussed for, what, 5 minutes before we realize we're not live?
Yeah. That was the best content we have ever done, and it will never be... It'll be lost to the void.
Yep. Well, you can't revisit it, that's for sure.
Ever. Yes. It's just, it wouldn't be the same if you go back. You can't go back. They say that.
Mindcast would have been far more reliable, though. I mean, that you don't even have to hit the live button for Mindcast.
Yeah. Once Mark Zuckerberg decides it's time to listen, it's time to listen.
Yeah.
It'll just be beamed right into your cerebral cortex, which I think that's the thing that exists.
Yes. Yeah, we got those. I'm pretty sure.
So today we were going to, we'll sort of revisit the topic a little bit, I guess, because you can't really talk about Slam 15 without talking about what the whole point is. And the point is 15mm sci-fi, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Which we had kind of chatted about before. You know, we're both big fans of the 15s, as the cool kids call them. One of the things that I got to start by just talking about why, like, or what sets, like, 15mm sci-fi minis apart from other sci-fi ranges. Because I feel like maybe that's the thing we didn't really touch on a lot when we talked about 15s. We kind of talked about, like, more the tactical
aspects. You can't talk about 15s without talking about why 15s are the best.
This is true. But there's also a certain, like, vibe you get in. If you... I imagine most people who play sci-fi and listen to this probably have some 28s, which means you statistically have, like, some 100s or something similar to that. That sort of, like, space fantasy vibe is pretty big in 28s because everything is either Warhammer or trying to look like Warhammer. But for 15s, it's a little bit of a different thing. There's a little bit of that. You mentioned alternative armies, and they're probably the main one that kind of has that sort of aesthetic. But otherwise, a lot of the stuff you look at is either, like, very space opera kind of stuff. Like, a lot of the Kurosan figures are, you know, they're a little... They look like real sci-fi, but they're also, like, a little silly and goofy. There's a lot of, you know, like, human in rubber suit kind of aliens and stuff. He's got, like, shark people with laser guns and stuff. Or they are very sort of, like, military, like... I guess hard sci-fi is, like, the closest thing, but, like... I don't know. Military sci-fi, I guess. You get, like, the Ground Zero games, and, like, Brigade has a bunch of, I mean, mostly tanks and stuff, but there's a lot of that stuff out there. There's, like, the 08 guys at Pico Armor Cells, which are very much, like, actual army guys, but with, like, sci-fi kit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a different, I don't want to say it's more science fiction, but, like, to me, it kind of is, because it reminds me more of, like, sci-fi stuff that I read and watched when I was a kid.
Well, I think that's the roots, right, is a lot of the old science fiction that involved grav tanks and stuff. It was, like, the major driving force of most sci-fi 15mm.
Yeah, or major hovering force, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Hammer Slammer stuff, like, looms pretty large. Like, everyone cites that, right?
Yeah.
So it's a big element of that, and a lot of that stuff is, like, very... There used to be this thing people would call it Vietnam in space, for, like, a certain kind of game, like StarCraft and stuff like that. So that sort of vibe definitely, like, looms large, and then you get... The other half is, like, kind of like military Star Trek, so it's, like, a lot of, like, the Kurosan figures and stuff, where they are maybe a little more, like, Mass Effect, anime kind of stuff, but that still tends to be a little more of a... like a true sci-fi vibe over, like, the Grimdark and Warhammer stuff. There are some, like, knockoff Warhammer ranges too, like Vanguard and Onslaught and all, some of that stuff. And they kind of have more of the space fantasy vibe. But the other part of it is, I think, because Ground Zero Games, for the longest time, they were not the only ones, but they were definitely, like, the flagship, right, a really long time. Like, it was either, like, old Laserburn figures or, like, hunting down some of the old, like, I think RAFM had them, like, the old Traveler figures. But otherwise, so. if you want anything that was, like, cool and reasonably new, it was basically GCG. And they all of their stuff has that, like, Vietnam in space look. So I think that became, like, kind of the go-to for 50mm sci-fi. And I think that kind of influences. So the whole purpose, really, there was kind of, like, two reasons for SLAM to exist. The first, really, is just, like, giving back to that scene. Because 50mm sci-fi is something that, like, it used to be, like, a little niche. Like, you could get it, but it was not. Nobody really paid much attention to it. And then after, for a while, like, it just exploded. You had, like, Kurosan basically coming out of nowhere. You know, GCG, like, expanded their ranges. You had a bunch of other stuff, like, popping up. And it's still, like, going. I don't know if it's, like, as huge as it was, like, at its peak, you know, like, 10 years ago or something. But, like, there's still a lot out there. Like, do you remember the Dropship Horizon blog? I don't know if that even exists anymore. That was, like, huge, you know, because they had, like, new releases almost, like, on a daily basis. For a while, it kind of became, like, MDF terrain kit of the day.
They also made the Halo game in 15.
Yeah, that was, like, the biggest, like, like glossy, like commercial kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was always unique with 15s was it was always a little bit roll your own, because most people didn't really like buy just from one company. Like most people don't have just an army that's Rebel Minis or Kurosan or Darkest Star or something. Like most people would buy from a bunch of different stuff and combine it. You know, you would sort of mix and match. You might have like tanks from Brigade, you have some infantry from GCG. And then you're fighting like my guys, which is a mix of like Rebel Minis and something else. Mm-hmm. So this was like DIY vibe. And the same, like people would kind of grab rules that were out there and were suitable, but were not necessarily like specifically intended for us. Like Grunts was like the big one for a while. Everyone played Grunts, right?
Yeah.
What's that?
It was the hotness.
Yeah, for a while it was like the standard, like back on the Google Plus days, like everyone who was posting games with 15s were playing Grunts. Starground 2 was still like around, but it was kind of like fading out a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was nominally incentive for 15s because, you know, GCG sold 15s and they're like true 25s. So that was like part of it. And then a fair number of those people picked up like my old Fast and Dirty rules when that was the thing. So they were kind of part of that. But again, that was Stargrunt and SAD were kind of like fading out, and then Grunts have kind of followed that path as well. Things don't last, you know. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I don't know, it used to last a decade. So there's this kind of void now where, like, you can play in a game in 15mm, obviously. But as far as, like, a game that is sort of intended for it, that's a little thinner on the ground right now. So it's kind of time to do something like that, and also just give the scene, hopefully, like, a little bit of a rallying point, something people can kind of point to. And, of course, you know, crass commercial exploitation, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
You know.
When you add 15 to something, then you're adding class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got to make, like, a little bit of a statement, right?
Yeah. Turn up 28 for, what do you mean? Slam 15.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's funny how it's, like, become, like, a thing now. Like, you got the turnip, you got, like, Inquisitive 28, which that was, like, the one case where it, like, actually made sense because they were specifically saying that the game that's normally not played in 28, we're doing it this way.
Yeah.
So for them, it made sense. So the thing that, I guess we could back up for a second, because there's probably a couple of people who are listening to this and don't know what SLAM is. So now they're either frustrated and have already, like, deleted the podcast and sent angry emails, or they have been waiting for this moment to explain what the fuck is going on. So SLAM is basically sci-fi skirmish rules. Yes, I know. Ivan wrote another sci-fi skirmish game. Get in line. Complaints go right in the mailbox. That is intended for 15mm players, and specifically the kind of armies and figures that 15mm players tend to have. So that's kind of the 15 part. It doesn't mean you can't play in something else, but that's kind of the goal point, the target point. So it's what the nerds call reinforced platoon. So like three or four squads, a couple of vehicles. Again, sort of looking at like when people are building armies for 50 millimeter sci-fi, like how much stuff do they like? Like everyone has their figures based individually, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody puts 15s for sci-fi on team basis. Maybe they should. That would be cool, but they don't. So the rules had to use single basis. They had to allow, you know, multiple units. Most people want, like if you think about it, you have like three squads of guys, right? They all have a transport, so that's six units. You want like a couple of tanks or robots, that's eight, nine units. Like, so they have to be able to handle that number of units pretty well and without getting super bogged down. The rules had to be not real fiddly with like having to track very specific things in, because again, you have a lot of guys and they're not necessarily, it's easy to tell 50 millimeter units apart from each other, but too much like who has the widget in which squad gets a little, you know, like it's easy for them to kind of get lost in there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not too much of that, and not too many like fiddly decision points. Like one squad shooting in one squad is great. One squad where everyone can fire a different target and you have to figure out who can see past who, that can get a little hairy in 15. So not so much of that. And making it easy to use like multiple vehicles. So not a lot of tracking like special damage effects across like seven different grav tanks or whatever. And like I said, kind of aiming towards the kind of game that if you look at sci-fi armies that people are building in 15 or are buying or that you can buy, that it kind of fits like what that puts in your mind. Like if everyone is selling grav tanks and robots, then the rules should allow for a good amount of like grav tanks and robots. If they're all mostly like hard sci-fi or military sci-fi, then the game should have a bit of a military feel, like suppression and reactions and stuff like that.
Yeah, large mechs do exist in 15, but they're definitely not the common ones.
Yeah, so what do you get
smaller mechs on field?
Yeah, what you get mostly is people will get like heavy gear or battle tech guys and put them alongside like 50 millimeter infantry, which looks great because they look like a big mean robot, but they're not like giant, you know, stomping. You know, you're not getting Gundams basically,
which actually are 15.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, so that's kind of the vibe. That's the idea. So that sort of informs like what kind of stuff you, the rules had to be able to account for. And then you know, it's a chance of doing something that I don't normally get to do. So everyone always complains that they want D10s to D6s. So you get D10s. Mm-hmm. I know, right? I don't say that. I don't do anything for you guys. And then fairly conventional mechanics, because sometimes it's fun to just do some of this. The thing is, if it's intended to be a game that's like suitable for pickup games, it has to be pretty normal. And by that, I mean, like, you know, you roll to hit, you roll to do damage, you have probably alternating activations. You have a couple of clever bits. So, you know, like you can have scout units, which can activate, give up their activation to activate a different unit a second time. If they fire on a target, the scouts can see, stuff like that. So there's a couple of clever bits, but it's fairly conventional. There's not any like real abstract like activation sequences or things like that.
Speaking of abstract, I was falling asleep multiple times reading the rules. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I read something clever in the Specialist Forces as well.
Mm.
Like you can cancel the people's actions? Or was it a dream?
That might be a dream. You can react to things. So when a unit does something, you can take an unactivated unit and just react with it right there.
Mm.
So, but it's still, so the current release is the alpha version, which is the same as we're doing with Mystic Space, which is you buy it then, it's basically a complete game, just a small one. So you're not really like risky. You're not buying like a, you know, Garbo half finished thing. It's like, it's 30, whatever, four pages or something. And it's a full game in that. But when the full game, the full version comes out, then you get like the $5 you spent off. You'll get a discount code. So that way you're not really out anything investing on. And you get to provide feedback and input. The secret playtesters put this one through quite a few paces. So, things fit together pretty well. There is included some sample like unit profiles and weapon profiles so people can. Which is like standard, like sci-fi stuff. So you can put dudes on the table and you can get a game going and kind of feel things out. here's like the second part of it. This is actually what the 15 was originally like standing for, because it was originally supposed to be just called SLAM, and then SLAM 15 would be a separate thing. Okay. But the idea is that over time you could have army profiles or whatever, like unit stats and point costs and so on, for figures from different like manufacturers. I talked to two behind the scenes like last year. They may have forgotten by now, actually. But it's different when there's actually a thing you can show, like this is what it looks like. But the idea would be that if you like the miniatures from Company X, then you can actually download a little thing, or maybe it's just in the rulebook, that has stats like ready to go for Company X's figures. They don't have to be massively different. Like basic sci-fi infantry are, you know, they're not going to be that different like between different companies. We're not making like Warhammer army lists here. It's more that you can buy like a tank from Brigade or something if they agreed. And you can just look up what the stats are and the points cost and put it on your table. Now, you don't have to do anything. Now, you could also just not do that. If you like the tank, but you don't like those stats, or you want to, you could just pick like the stats for a different tank in the book, you know. Like, it doesn't matter. But basically, making us like beginner-friendly as possible, and ideally, especially once we have a like calculation system where it's like you can pick some stats and determine, you can calculate the points cost, right? Once we have that, then you could kind of make it so like anything could, like if you're making your own range of figures for 3D printing or something, you could just come up with the stats you want and we put them into the formula, right? But that's a bit more in the future, but that's kind of a long goal, because that's kind of, again, like the rallying point. The one thing that like everyone really liked with Grunts was you could build like your own troops. The thing that nobody liked with Grunts was having to build your own troops. Everyone liked to be able to just like pick them from. There's a very specific kind of player who loves building units, but the vast majority want somebody else to have done that work for them. So yeah. You could go to, you know, Ground Zero Games or whatever, and you could buy like 3 of these squads and 2 of these graph tanks, and then you just look in the book and see what the stats are. Then, yeah, that would be grand. That would be awesome. However, that's, like, the second step. Like, the first step is, you know, make sure the rules themselves are solid as possible, make sure that, you know, all the basic stuff, the things that people get confused about, that's been ironed out, so on. And then from there, I do have some vague ideas for where to go after that, but we'll see. Like, this is kind of the... So the obvious questions that somebody will ask is, like, where does this stand compared to any number of other things? But there's not that much, like, platoon-level sci-fi on the market right now, so that makes it easier. So I don't have to talk about other people's games, which I feel weird doing. So the most obvious comparison is, like, my own No Stars in Sight, but that game is well overdue for an upgrade, but it's also, like, a completely different experience. Like, No Stars Inside is really more of like a military simulation kind of game. Trying to be like ultra hard sci-fi, very sort of gritty military. This is, I think I came up with the term like gamer sci-fi, because it's just driven by the models that are on the table. Like, that's, if you need like humanoid space sharks to exist, because those are on the market, then that can be in SLAM. But it's just driven by like what's out there, what's on the market.
Stay hydrated.
Yeah, I'm swilling Celsius today. It is so muggy in this room that this can is like covered in condensation. Like I actually can't read the label because there's so many water drops on it.
Well, if you make it to the 45-minute mark, you're a hero.
So working on it, heavily caffeinated. But that's kind of the idea. Like, that's the whole, so it's kind of it's funny because when you design things, sometimes you want like the design to be like really forward. Like, if you have some like really clever mechanic, right? If you've read like Rogue Planet, by Spivey or whatever, like anything he makes actually is like that, where you can't like forget the mechanics because they're just like in your face all the time. Okay. And other games are very like, or like Song of Blazing Heroes, like. You can't, the activation mechanic is like so central and specific to that game that you can't play that game without like engaging with that like constantly. With this, my goal was a little bit of, I guess you call it like a workhorse game, where the mechanics were supposed to fade into the bag a little bit, because the focus is really supposed to be more on like the armies and your models.
Okay.
So it's, you know, like roll to hit, roll to damage. Like I said, there are a suppression mechanic instead of morale, because it's kind of like that better, and I thought that felt better. But it's intended to be pretty conventional. For vehicles, you do track. I didn't want critical hits because I didn't want to have to track like damage on specific vehicles. Like,
oh, yeah.
Multiple, you know, tracks are out, gun out, or whatever. So you do have to track like damage points lost, but you can just put a die or something next to them. I thought that was like a reasonable.
Yeah.
So, so that's kind of the quick and dirty of Shlam. Also, it's an abbreviation for sci-fi light army mechanics, but it was basically just like it sounded good. And then I thought about like what it could be an abbreviation for.
Yeah, working backwards.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to sound like something in like an anime or something. Yeah. Like it's the special forces of the space empire or something.
You once ruled the realms with dice and a sword, painted goblins till tea, then your minis were stored. You grew up, got a job, bought a flat, wore a tie, swapped dragons for deadlines, your brushes went dry. Now the dishes are done and the kids are in bed. You climb to the attic to raise the undead. Crack open the paints that you swore you'd outgrown. The smell of acrylic, it feels like your home. There's grey in your beard, even more on your head, but you're splashing some colour on plastic and lead. So welcome back, General. What took you so long? Your hobby's still here. It's the place you belong. The Bedroom Battlefields Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Find it at bedroombattlefields.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. So if someone walks up to me and says, what is Slam 15 about? Then the response would be 15mm sci-fi gaming, reinforced platoon, keyword-driven, simple mechanics.
Yes. Semi-tactical, I guess. Tactical.
Tactical.
So, but yeah, that's sort of the... And in a way, like, because it ideally will be like a basis for like a bunch of different models and stuff, it almost has to like be kind of a simple idea, like, you know, because you don't want it to take up so much space. Like the bigger and more specific the game gets, the more difficult it becomes to stuff things into it. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be. It's like when you look at like the rules for Warhammer 40K, there's never been very much to them. Even in the more complex editions, they've always been very sort of basic, because the universe and the models and stuff are so big and specific. So,
but yeah. Usually it's all just like keywords. So this is your basic unit, but then they get some shenanigans based on the keywords.
Yeah, and that takes up like, you know, when you look at people discussing like tactics for 40K, they usually just means like army building, because the armies are such a big part. There's like mm-hmm. 2,000 units in each codex. They all have like special rules and things, and so the rules have to be very kind of like simple to accommodate all of that stuff, like being bolted onto them. Whereas if you take like Battletech, it's like huge and baroque and archaic. But like none of the, you know, any mech you use has like standard stuff that every other mech also has. They all have the same, you know, they move different speeds, but they all have like heat sinks and jump jets and SRM sixes and whatever.
Yeah.
So you have like a much more involved, like basic rule set, but then all the pieces you like attach to it are like kind of interchangeable in that sense.
Yeah. And that's where people can really enjoy list building or just mm-hmm. presets.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a good choice. You can just do either one.
Yeah. And yeah. Again, like 15mm sci-fi is such a like DIY thing that you kind of have to accommodate that, like allow people to like kind of make your own. It's all like, you know, my dudes. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny, actually, is I've seen way less 15mm sci-fi guys who like come up with like a lot of like background and setting for like their little armies. They like people like to be able to pick out. It's almost more just a look.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe that'll change, or maybe it won't. It doesn't need to. This is interesting. Like a lot of times for 28mm stuff, people will come up with all these like elaborate stories and stuff like that. But I feel like for at least for the unit based 15s, it's really more just like people are just picking the stuff they think looks cool or looks nice together. But maybe there's not like a lot of story behind that. It's more just vibes or just
yeah.
And maybe it's just because they are quick to paint. Like, you can, how long does it take you to paint like a squad of like 15 millimeter guys? If you just kind of
like, if I just sit down and do it,
yeah, like
maybe like an hour.
Yeah, like you can knock out a squad in the evening, even with a little bit of time to wait for it to dry and do the bases.
Yeah, especially if they're like multi-based, like one GHQ unit would be super fast.
Mm-hmm. So like...
GHQ. GCG. Battlefront, there we go.
Oh, yeah. So there's a bigger... Because you can buy a new squad for like $5 and they don't cost a lot of time to paint. Maybe it's just easy to like try new things. You don't have to have like a big specific reason to like fit this particular tank. It's just you wanted to try painting and now you have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, exactly. And I think that's also, so that's the like, there's like the symbiotic relationship part where like if you have all of these like ready to go units, that obviously helps, like hopefully helps like manufacturers and creators and miniatures because it'll push people to like buy new stuff. And then in return, hopefully all of those people buying miniatures will choose to play Slam instead of some other dumb game.
Yeah. So I got a little game for us right here in my hand.
Yeah.
There's a little Zvezda mouse. How would you already have like a preset stat for a big old chunker like this?
Or would you need to build fresh? Well, so that's a great question. Because it's kind of big compared to like... I don't know if you have a regular 15 millimeter tank sitting around. Just for like size comparison.
Oh, there we go. Well, okay, these are. I don't have a sci-fi tank, but I got a.
Oh, a World War II tank will do or something.
This is a. I don't remember what this is. It's a Russian tank.
Yeah. T something.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
There we go.
So these are notably like bigger boys. They almost like need a little extra. But you could have. I think what will happen in the end is you have like. A list of like generics. You have like a super big tank and like heavy tank and medium tank that you can use for almost anything. And then for things that are like really specific, like I don't even remember, Ground Zero Games for a while were doing all of these. They were basically tanks, but like on like crab legs and stuff.
Yeah.
They're really cool, but maybe they need like a specific thing that you do for those because I think he's the only one who makes anything like that. So maybe you have like some specific profiles and stuff like that. But if you're just buying like a generic like tank that you want to use, you can just call it a medium tank and pick the three guns that are like fit the best, right?
Yeah.
So I think you have to make it so that you're not like, it's not the same as like, because when you buy like a Warhammer unit, like you can use your Space Marine nerds as whatever you want, but like, you're kind of buying them to use them as like a Space Marine and tactical squad or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they're something like very specific. And I don't think 15s work the same way. They might for like, you know, if you're playing like that, what is it? Patrol Angus or whatever. I'm sure they have like specific stats for his units because it's like their own game. Mm-hmm. But for this, something like this where it's unaffiliated, it has to be like open-ended. So like if you buy, you know, a specific graph tank from GCG, you have to be able to both use it as just whatever graph tank you would like it to be, but also maybe there is like a ready-made. Like, okay, if you don't want to do any math, it costs like 115 points, and it's a medium graph tank with a, whatever, 72 millimeter railgun.
Yeah, and it is the best way just to jump into a game, so have those kinds of stats ready to go, and then granulate with keywords past that. So if you're like, actually... I feel like this grav tank is special, so it needs a certain, you know, je ne sais quoi.
Yes.
So you like go into the big old keyword bucket, and you're like, okay, I like this, and I like this, and I'll add those points in there.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like casting it. You're not building the unit from scratch. You're just adding the things you think should be on there and paying the points accordingly.
Yes, absolutely. Because then you're kind of, it's like, that's like, it's like how much work you want to do up front, right? Because it's like, some people don't want to do any work. They want to be able to just like pick it and go. And some people want to, like, start somewhere, but then customize a little bit. And some people want to be able to, like, do it all the way from, like, the bottom up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, ideally, you can kind of accommodate all three.
Were you telling me, or was it someone else had a story where they got really into the idea of a game and they, like, did all the work to prep the game and then actually played it and they kind of hated it?
That's pretty.
That's
kind of
like unit building. Sometimes you're like, okay, well, I got everything ready to go. I spent all my time figuring out everything, and then I played the game.
Yeah, then you just like burn out on it. there is a theory that I read, or not a theory, but it's like a scientists were like study brains to figure out why humans are stupid. And it is that like if you're preparing something or researching something or working on something ahead of time, your brain like can't tell the difference between that and actually doing it. It's why if you like over prepare for something that you have to do, then you end up like procrastinating on it anyway, because your brain is like, we spent like an hour researching this, we're done, it's time to like knock off and watch TV.
Yeah, that's right.
So sometimes, like, spending a lot of time, like, building armies and stuff like that can, like, burn out your excitement because you've already done all the fun part. And then your brain is like, I want to actually do this shit. We've been doing it all weekend.
Yep.
Also, like, sometimes if you don't, like, know a game, it can be kind of stressful to, like, build armies because you don't know if you're, like, inadvertently breaking everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you accidentally, like, made a bunch of super units and the game is over in one turn. Now all your friends think the game sucks ass because, yep, like, you just die instantly because you didn't know like what a normal unit was supposed to look like, or you play with like that one guy who's an asshole, so he had to bring like an army that was all like missile launcher dudes on like skateboards or something.
Yeah, one thing I do find for miniature agnostic games with pre-built lists is sometimes trying to shoehorn your miniature into a certain stat that just doesn't feel right can get you with a feels bad kind of experience.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have like a wide variety of things that you're like, okay, well, this is basically, I can live with that.
Yeah, it's like a fine balance because you kind of like, no matter what you do, it's like a scale, right? Like on one end, you have ultimate freedom, but you have to do it all yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the other end, you have no freedom, but it's all done for you. So you kind of like, and no matter like where you like are on that scale, like you're going to, some people will wish that it was more free and some people will wish it was less. So it was kind of like the thing we're doing with Mystic Space, where it's like there's a specific army list, but you get to choose the miniatures that you think fit the army list. So it's like a way of cheating that a little bit by asking the player, like, you want to make like a dead wake heavy infantry squad. You go pick the models you want to that you think look like dead wake heavy infantry. But heavy infantry in the game look like this, dead wake or like this. I think what you can run into with, because if you tell people a game is agnostic, they will 100% want to use their existing stuff, which most of the time means like Space Marines.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a really common issue for like Eldar armies in 40K, because Eldar armies often have like a bunch of shit that doesn't work anything like armies usually do in other games. Because you have, you know, like dudes with wings and dudes who can teleport, and like a bunch of games either don't have that or it just doesn't work in the rules very well or something. Yeah, so like, it's like you can take your Tyranids, just put them in anything. They're just bugs. Most games have like something like Space Marines, Imperial Guard, even the Orcs to an extent can. But yeah, like Eldar always becomes a problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, or like they're so important.
Yeah, but you also have to like, I think, fence off the space a little bit and say, okay, the vibe is this, so the closer your models are to this. So maybe, like, obviously you'll be able to use, like, your alternative army stuff, but maybe if all of your armies are alternative army stuff, and that is, like, you're really into that, like, space fantasy feudal vibe they have, maybe this is not, like, the ideal game for those armies. Maybe, yeah. Maybe it is. Right. Whereas if your stuff is all like GCG and Brigade, you're probably locked and loaded because it's directly aimed at like that vibe.
So. Mm-hmm.
But again, that could also, you know, as things develop, you know, there could be variations. It could be an option to make it more space fantasy or less tactical or whatever.
If there's money in the banana stand.
You want to see things happen? Send money my way. That's how it works.
Yeah. I just like, want to confirm with Skis, who just popped in, that yes, it is so hot that Ivan's camera broke. It is. He was talking to me before the show, and his camera just went away.
Yeah, we had camera for like 3 seconds, and then they didn't.
You're there. I saw the cat. The cat left, and everything was done.
Yeah, maybe he was the one, because he's always in here when I record, so maybe like that's actually just how the camera works.
Yeah, now, well, that makes sense.
Now he's downstairs somewhere, so I don't got shit for camera.
Okay.
So,
15 sitting solidly space opera slash hard sci-fi right now.
Yep.
With the right greasing of palms, it could expand to more grimdark or mystical.
It could.
Space wizardry.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that is easy enough because, like, having, like, spells or something or psionics or whatever, like, that doesn't really, like, require a specific miniature, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can just say that that dude has spells or has mind powers. So that could happen, but I want to make sure part of doing it, because this both went to playtesters earlier than I normally do, and it also, like, goes out to the public earlier than I normally would, to get, like, eyeballs on it, like, as early as possible. So the idea is to get, like, the core rules as solid as humanly possible and then, you know, start breaking it by adding, like, more shit to it.
Yeah, it's kind of following the Knight Pike Sword format.
Where yeah, started exactly. Off
with, like, you made it a solid, you know, medieval game.
Mm-hmm.
And you moved on to the old Fantasy Fest.
Yeah, so, which... We'll have more stuff coming. I've gotten some decent, although it's both good and bad because most of the feedback I've gotten from the has been like, oh yeah, this is pretty good. We're happy with it. I'm like, all right, that doesn't tell me a lot, but I guess I just can make the remaining spell list and add some more critters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Just more so, stuff. You know, everyone wants more stuff.
Yes. And if it's cool, people will forgive you if it's a little bit broken.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
People
so
always want kind kingdom building though, if you ever had kingdom building.
Good grief, yeah, that is, although it's a, that would, yeah, well, because it's like, you're building, like, a whole separate game to, like, put on top of it, yeah, exactly. Which, like, 10% of the players will actually use, but maybe, yeah. But they will be, like, so stoked, so,
yeah,
sometimes it's worth it. A couple of the obvious questions, I guess, just to save people asking them, will there be solo mechanics with Slam? Probably not, but maybe. If there is, it'll be something like pretty simple to let you two-fist the game, but with like something where you can like roll for like a bit of decision making or like overall plans. It's really, I want to kind of do one or two things that is mostly aimed for pickup games, just to like have a foot in that and have fun with that. Will there be any like solo or like campaign-y solo kind of stuff? I don't know. Maybe. Probably something to do like little, what do you call it when you have like a club thing where you play the same army for a little bit and maybe you get like a small reward or something. You get like a little bonus, like a league kind of thing. That would probably be cool. Again, to kind of aid like the pickup thing, because then you can have a thing where like, you have like four guys in a club or a store or something, and you all decide to build like a new 50mm army and you order them at the same time, you know, and you all get into it at the same time. You play like a series of games. So it would be cool to have stuff that supports that. But otherwise, like, I did have one idea for something where you take some of the mechanics and distill them down to like single figures and make it like a super generic, like skirmish game.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like a Song of Blades and Heroes thing, but. And then maybe that could be a thing. Because I've never done anything that was like a super, super generic individual figure skirmish. Like, it's always been like mostly modern or sci-fi.
Okay, yeah.
So some spin-offs could happen, but probably this is just kind of going to be its own. It's just kind of going to be. I can talk real good in the seat.
You got 5 more minutes. You can do it.
Yep. But it's also about setting up, like in the grand picture, this is most of this whole episode is only of interest to people who are NWG fans anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's also just setting up like some future points to like work from. That's the same as like Mystic Space and EKPS and stuff. Like have things to build from, you know. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of ideas for Mystic Space and what'll happen in the future there. Slam will be something that can kind of be expanded over time. You know, you can do any kind of number of things, campaign books or unit books or whatever. So just world build these.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you could have, like, settings, you know.
Well, like, say if you hypothetically had Brigade miniatures as your, you know, one of your official sources with official stats, they do have a setting, I believe, as well, or at least loose guidelines, so...
Yeah.
Would there ever be a world book for their setting sort of thing?
Yeah, that could be cool. So a lot of that just depends on like, cause somebody has to like sit and do the work.
Somebody you know very well.
Yes. But if it Yeah, it would definitely be possible. You know, like GCG has their like little pseudo setting that their all their armies like exist in, and he's I think hung up the hat on writing rules any longer. So like, there's a lot of stuff that's possible there. And you can even, I mean, you could also have like generic stuff. You come up with a little, you know, you make a sci-fi world, but there's like a big war going on, and you have a couple of factions on there, and they have stats and stuff, and then people go out and pick minis for that. And you have some special rules for them. So yeah, it's really about like, I don't know, that's probably like a industry term for it, but like a platform that you could then build from. So, and it's sort of like differentiating like indie Nordic Weasel from like Modiphius Nordic Weasel.
Yeah.
Which is like very much like a specific thing that they're interested in and they want stuff for, and we're working on stuff. So it makes no sense to me to have like the indie stuff be the exact same, but with a different hat on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but we'll see. Like, so it depends on what people actually want to like see and play. You know, if everyone's like, this sucks ass, we wish this was a procedurally generated solo Warman game. Like, oh, okay, fine.
Everyone always wants the solo procedurally generated games.
Yes. So maybe it would be a, I don't know, 6 graph tanks from fucking...
6 graph tanks now.
Yeah. That was a deep cut. But it's the thing, like, if you ask people what they want, they will always, like, tell you just the same thing with a plus one. So sometimes you have to, like, do something new, and then people will be like, oh, this is so cool. So, and sometimes it's shit. That's okay.
Yeah. For me, when I look at a game, like an agnostic game, I think, you know, I got a couple of settings kind of sitting around in my head that I've never really found where they would be best played in. So, like, what am I? I want to take all my, I don't know, junky World War II guys with Battleground figures or Battlefront figures, and I want to throw them against some sci-fi dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, so that's like a setting I have in my head. I'm like, where exactly, you know, does it sit well in what kind of mechanics, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of times, I think it's also like everyone has like a couple of units or a box of stuff that they bought and maybe painted or maybe didn't even, and it just never got to a table and it's just been sitting there. So sometimes it's like, oh, this would be perfect for like those tanks I bought like 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you get an excuse. Like, I saw a dude on the Discord who was talking about painting up some like Rogue Trader Imperial Guard because he was excited about Rogue Hammer. I was like, oh, those dudes might have been sitting in, like, in a box somewhere, like, since 1989, you know?
Yeah. Never touched by enamel.
Yeah. Well, the paint job was pretty decent, so they probably were, like, untouched. So, but yeah, that is both everything I have to say, and also as long as I can sit in this room without, like, getting, without dying.
Just think of how much weight you lost, you know?
Yeah, no shit.
So to wrap it up, I'm just going to mention that our next show will be my 9th.
Yeah, and I think we have a guest, maybe?
Yeah.
Question mark?
He has said yes.
Oh, okay.
And you never know in life what's going to happen. So there's always a possibility no, but pretty exciting stuff. There's a few people I've heard of his games before, but I've never played them myself. Mm-hmm. He's got like a rabid fan base, kind of like you, of people who just think he does the best things, and he's taken that engine and he's applied it to different stuff, and he now got picked up by Modiphius, you know, similar to yourself, and he's going through his first book and he's learning the ropes sort of thing. So I think it could be a really good conversation.
Yeah. So,
and some people get super excited if you use the words map generating story crawler. No, but basically, yeah. So it generates a map. It's like hex crawl, map crawl.
Mm-hmm.
It generates a story. And it's
That's like a huge audience, that kind of thing. So yeah, that would be super fun.
I could never imagine doing that kind of thing myself. That would break my mind. Like that's the work right there.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. For a lot of those, I think doing the work is actually like part of the fun.
Yeah.
Like you get to sit and tinker and like fill in your map and draw little AC/DC logos on and stuff. Yeah. Like so. Yeah, and we always do take requests. If any of you have topics you would like us to babble about. I was thinking in probably a month or two, we could do another like AMA thing like we've done a long time ago now, actually. That was like 2 years or something.
Great survey.
Yeah.
I think it's been more than 2 years.
Yeah, that is terrifying. Maybe it was even before the plague. So maybe that will be coming up. We'll sort of solicit, like, you can ask any questions you like. We could also do that for, like, painting stuff. People can ask, you know, for suggestions and ideas and advice for painting and modeling. Then you can give, like, a good answer, and I'll give, like, a shit one.
Or we'll do shit ones, and we'll see who.
Yeah.
The Noised, I think, is requesting a birthday song for his next show.
Oh, okay.
We can sing for him.
Yeah, yeah, poorly.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to let Ivan go before he dies.
Yes. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we will catch you on the flip side.
You can't see the heart he's making, but you can feel it.
It is huge. Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode of Bad Internet Friends was streamed live on YouTube and Twitch. There is a North American-friendly live stream every second Wednesday of the month and a European-friendly live stream every fourth Monday of the month.